RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesian creative economy believed to become backbone of Indonesian economy. Saudi Arabia interested to invest in Central Kalimantan. Now the news in detail. Indonesian government through Association of Creative Economy Backcraft signed a cooperation agreement with French Film and Animation Center in Jakarta on Wednesday. The agreement between the two countries covers the development of creative economy, especially in Indonesian French cinema. Head of Association of Creative Economy, Triawan Muna, believes that the creative economy will become backbone of Indonesian economy in the future. This cooperation agreement was signed by Head of Association of Creative Economy, Triawan Munaf, and the French Ambassador Indonesia, Jean-Charles Bertonnet.
Untuk creative economy, di mana Indonesia sekarang sudah
creative economy contributes 852 trillion rupiah to Indonesian GNP. It is a great amount and remarkable growth. And we hope cooperation like this can be accelerated. GDP is growing, so if we want to get bigger percentage, we must grow faster than the others. And I'm sure creative economy could become the backbone of Indonesian economy in the future. Triawan Munaf added, positive development of national film industry shows a great potential to become one of Indonesian economic boosters, and it is expected to become a locomotive for other subsectors of the creative economy. This agreement demonstrates Indonesian government's commitment through association a creative economy to support the development of national film industry. France wants to strengthen cooperation relations with Indonesia in all sectors, which give mutual benefit for the two countries. The cooperation is not only in politics and military, but also in creative economy, which is based on culture. In the visit, President of France, François Hollande, to Indonesia, various cooperation documents had been signed, and one of them is in the field of creative economy. In his speech on the Baltra meeting of France-Indonesia related to creative economy and cultural industrial promotion in digital era in Jakarta, President François Hollande said that one of the missions of the visit is to further strengthen relations with Indonesia, especially in the field of cultural dimension. It has been around 30 years the President of the Republic of France did not visit Indonesia. In this opportunity, my visit is utilized to strengthen relations between the two countries in the future. And I see what has been sought by well-known artists and creators today at the forum. I see the intercultural dialogue, even designing many big projects together. And since 2011, Indonesia and France have made a strategic alliance and has been realized in the form of cultural dimension. President François Hollande also added that the cooperation of creative economy, especially in cultural fields such as film, has given a lot of benefit to both sides. Besides, Indonesia can learn a lot from France related to the film industry which it first developed. Indonesian First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo emphasized the importance to improve the early childhood education, locally called CPAUD, for the children. During her walking visit to Pekanbaru City in Riau Province on Wednesday, First Lady Iriana, when attended the CPAUD teachers training, said that the early childhood education is an important start for the children to build a better future. She said that the current juvenile delinquency has become a national concern. Therefore, the early childhood education plays an important role in building a better future for the children.
Ini hubungannya dengan tidak dengan anak-anak ya Pak, tapi remaja. Sekarang remaja sekarang ini kan.
This is not only about the children but the youth. Our youth is too criminal. We saw there are a lot of negative things. How do you prevent those from our youth so they could be better?
Hal-hal yang tidak bagus pantas untuk dilihat bagaimana Bapak cara mencegah biar remaja-remaja sekarang bisa berbuat yang lebih baik.
In addition to attending the Port Teachers Training, First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo also attended the anti-drugs dialogue among students in Pekanbaru. On the occasion, she accompanied by the Organization of Solidarity Action of the Working Cabinet, called all students to be aware of their neighborhood. She said that students have the responsibility to remind other youth who have tendency to use narcotics and drugs. Security authorities of Indonesia and Russia held a consultation meeting on international information security in Jakarta on March 22, 2017. The Ambassador of Russian Federation to Indonesia, His Excellency Michael Yurifit Galushin, during a press conference on the result of the meeting on his residence in Jakarta March 29, 2017, said that in the meeting both countries agreed to prevent the abuse of cyberspace for criminal or terrorist purposes.
Both sides exchanged views on the information security situation globally. Then they agreed that the states should take all necessary measures to prevent the use of the cyberspace for criminal and terrorist purposes. They also shared the view that the main task of bilateral cooperation in the area of information security or cybersecurity is to prevent conflicts in what we call information space or in the internet space.
Furthermore, Ambassador Michael Galushin explained both countries will develop further the cybersecurity cooperation, especially to prevent terrorism. The ambassador added the consultation meeting saw the mature nature of relationship and strong mutual trust between Russia and Indonesia. He hopes such meeting will be held again in the future. Indonesian presidential spokesman Johan Budi affirmed that French President François Hollande was admired with the democracy in Indonesia, which has diverse culture, custom, and religions. All of this also integrate tightly with no opposition from the community. In his interview to Radio Republic of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday, Johan Budi said that France views that the state of Indonesia is democracy and national unity on which diversity goes well. In addition, France is also one of the countries that voices the liberation of Palestine. World peace is expected. On President Hollande's visit to Indonesia on Wednesday, Johan also pointed out that there are several points of cooperation that will be implemented by Indonesia. They are in the field of cinematography, technology, digital economy, creative economy, and defense. Indonesian government is focused on improving its ease of doing business indicator by reforming its tax and customs service sector. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati said on Wednesday, despite already conducting a number of improvements in the sector of tax and customs, the institution will continue to improve its efforts. The improvements, according to the minister, could be done by practicing what other foreign governments have implemented, such as online tax payment through an ATM machine, commonly called e-payment. The Indonesian House of the Representatives, DPR, support the increased level of partnership between Indonesia and France ever since both countries signed a strategic partnership pact in July 2011. Bilateral relations between both countries have always improved. Speaker of DPR Setia Novanto said right after greeting the chairman of the Bilateral Cooperation Group of the French-Indonesian Parliament, His Excellency Mr. Jean-Jacques Quillet, on Wednesday, that the bilateral economic trade value between both countries in 2016 reached $2.34 billion, which need to be improved. He also explained France's investment in Indonesia throughout 2016 reached $109 million, that is spread across 424 projects. He also hoped that the value will continue to improve following both nations' positive relations. Saudi Arabia is ready to invest $25 billion to build infrastructure in central Kalimantan. One of them is to build a hospital. Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives of Central Kalimantan, as Sarah explained to Radio Republic of Indonesia on Tuesday. The desire of Saudi Arabia to invest in Central Kalimantan with the emergence of discourse that Central Kalimantan will be the capital of the Republic of Indonesia. He also pointed out that discourse of Central Kalimantan to be capital has attracted many foreign investors. One of them is Saudi Arabian government that is ready to disburse $25 billion to build a magnificent hospital in Palangkaraya, Central Kalimantan. He added that the arrival of investor to Central Kalimantan is awaited because Governor of Central Kalimantan, Sugianto Sabran, on various occasions always says that he is ready to welcome any foreign investor as long as they propose the progress of all people of Central Kalimantan and for better economic development. The last item, PT Dirgantara Indonesia, PTDI, together with Airbus Helicopters, handed over a number of helicopters to the Indonesian National Armed Forces, TNI, specifically one H215N, two units of H225M, two Fennet combat helicopters, and two S565 MBE Panther in a basic East platforms from Airbus first batch of production. Airbus Helicopters Managing Director Ludovic Boistot revealed that the ability to meet an early scheduled deadline for Indonesian defense program demanded high levels of cooperation and commitment from the industry. From every helicopter that was handed over, a number of them were completed 1 year ahead of the scheduled deadline. An early delivery emphasized Airbus Helicopters' commitment in supporting Indonesia's defense industry. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. Before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and see magnificent beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. I feel loved.
listener a commentary today entitled Land Redistribution Policy. In the 16th working meeting of Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association HITMI that has taken place in Jakarta recently, President Joko Widodo said that the government is preparing a policy package on just economic equality. The main economic policy package is the 15th one that mainly focuses on land redistribution and agrarian reform. The policy is issued to address the economic inequalities of society and efforts to overcome inequality land. The land redistribution policy is the division of land or land held by the state and has been affirmed to become the object of reform. This land will be given to the tenant farmers as stipulated in the Government Regulation Number 224-1961. The utilization and land management must not violate the principle of conservation and should not be traded. The division of the land is an initial phase to implement the asset redistribution program and agrarian reform under President Joko Widodo's administration. The program is followed by plans to distribute 12.7 million hectares of other land to the community, both individuals and groups such as cooperatives, indigenous people, and boarding school, which is free of charge. The community is expected to manage the land given by the government for a certain period. Former chairman of the Special Committee on Land, Bill Arif Wibowo, said the object of the redistribution program comes from three sources. First, it is from an inventory of abandoned land. Second, it is from the object of distribution through accelerated conversion of forest area located in 17 provinces, 104 districts, and 629 locations. And the third is from the land of result of agrarian and land conflict resolution. The land redistribution is carried out to improve the welfare of the farmers. So far, most farmers have not obtained an adequate income because the land area they cultivate is very limited. With the land redistribution or agrarian reform, the area of cultivated land will increase in order to provide an adequate income like the other sectors. In addition to asset redistribution and agrarian reform, financial sector and capital as well as human resource development are also becoming a major focus of this policy package. The government also allocates unused land for the members of the Indonesian Young Entrepreneurs Association HITMI around 500 until 1,000 hectares to make productive land in a bid to encourage the growth of incomes. It is expected that the land redistribution program initiated by the government may soon be realized. At the end, this may reduce poverty and remove gaps. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on March 13, 1950 about Indonesian National Film Day. The decree of Indonesian President No. 25-1999 decided on March 30 as the Day of National Film. Because on 30 March 1950, it was for the first time shooting for a film entitled Dara and Doa, or Lone March of Siliwangi, which was directed by Usmar Ismail. Besides, this film was the first local film which was officially produced by Indonesia as independent country. Film Dara and Doa was the first product of Indonesian National Film Company belonging to Indonesian people. The scenario of the film, which was written by Sitor Sitomorang, told about a warrior of Indonesian Revolution falling in love with a Dutch woman who became his prisoner. The next event was in 1981 when Reagan assassination attempt occurred. On March 13, 1981, a shooting occurred at the Washington Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C., which targeted Ronald Reagan, the 40th President of the United States. While leaving a speaking engagement at the Washington Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C., President Reagan and three others were shot and wounded by John Hinckley. Hankley motivation for the attack was to impress actress Jodie Foster, over whom he had developed an obsession after seeing her in the 1976 film Taxi Driver. There were no fatalities in the immediate aftermath of the attack. Reagan was shot in the chest, just below the left underarm. He suffered a punctured lung and hip internal bleeding, but front medical attention allowed him to recover quickly. And the last event was in 1974 when Jakarta History Museum, also known as Fathahila Museum, was inaugurated. The Jakarta History Museum, also known as a Fathahila Museum or Batavia Museum, is located in the Old Town or known as Kota Tua of Jakarta, Indonesia. The building was built in 1710 as the Stadius or City Hall of Batavia. Jakarta History Museum opened in 1974 and displays objects from the prehistoric period of the city region, the founding of Jayakarta in 1527, and the Dutch colonization period from the 16th century until Indonesian independence in 1945. The museum is located in south side of Fathahila Square, former Batavia City Square, near Wayan Museum and Fine Art and Keramik Museum. The building is believed to be modeled after Dam Palace. In 1968, it was officially handed over to Regional Governor of Jakarta and inaugurated as Jakarta Historic Museum on 30 March 1974 by the then Governor of Jakarta, Ali Sadikin. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is our arrival service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is that Fashion ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, Manpower Ministry trains ANSOR cadres to be resilient in employment. Manpower Minister Muhammad Hanif Dakiri trained 100 cadres of ANSOR Youth Movement. The training, titled Banser Leadership Course, Sus Bampint, ANSOR GP, took place in Makassar, South Sulawesi on last Saturday. In his material, Minister Hanif Dakiri emphasized to the youth cadres of Nahdlatul Ulama NU to improve their competence in the field of employment. He said that ANSOR cadres are strong enough not only in defense but also in entrepreneurship that should also be deepened. Of course, this is aimed at maintaining the independence of the nation. Minister Hanif Dakiri also said that in the era of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, nowadays, Indonesia is in need of professional workers. He said that AEC is a natural competition that requires certification or recognition for Indonesian workers. Thus, he is expecting the cadres of GP ANSOR to possess employment skills. The cadres must make sure what steps are to be taken in this nation's independence. Furthermore, Minister Hanif also pointed out that ANSOR cadres do not need to be worried about employment because the data from the Minister of Manpower shows that the number of entrepreneurs in Indonesia is reaching about 1.5% of Indonesian population. So there is a lot of opportunity for volunteers and job seekers to work in any companies. He said that to build a nation is necessary for someone to work for the government, but they may work in the private companies that contribute to the government to jointly and professionally build the nation. Minister Hanif added that NU can be widely known because his sincerity. Therefore, NU's new cadres should be at the front to provide benefits for the nation and all Indonesian people. Banser Leadership Course, Sus Banpin ANSOR GP, was attended by representatives from 19 provinces in Indonesia, including South Sulawesi, East Kalimantan, East Nusa Tenggara, NTT, Riau, Central Java, Maluku, Papua, and West Papua. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian government, through the Association of Creative Economy, BECRAP, signed a cooperation agreement with French Film and Animation Center in Jakarta on Wednesday. France wants to strengthen cooperation relations with Indonesia in all aspects which give mutual benefit for the two countries. The cooperation is not only in politics and military but also in creative economy, which is based on culture. Indonesian First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo emphasized the importance to improve the early childhood education, locally called CHPAUD, for the children. During her walking visit to Pekanbaru City in Riau Province on Wednesday, First Lady Iriana, when attending the CHPAUD teachers training, said that the early childhood education is an important step for the children to build a better future. Security authorities of Indonesia and Russia held a consultation meeting on international information security in Jakarta. Ambassador of Russian Federation to Indonesia, His Excellency Michael Yurifit Galusin, during a press conference on the result of the meeting, had his residence in Jakarta. March 29, 2017, said that in the meeting, both countries agreed to prevent the abuse of cyberspace for criminal or terrorist purposes. The Indonesian House of Representatives (DPR) support the increased level of partnership between Indonesia and France ever since both countries signed a strategic partnership bet in July 2011. Saudi Arabia is ready to invest $25 billion to build infrastructure in central Kalimantan. One of them is to build a hospital. Indonesian presidential spokesman Johan Budi affirmed that French President François Hollande was admired with democracy in Indonesia, which has diverse culture, costume, and religions. Indonesian government is focused on improving its ease of doing business indicator by reforming its tax and costume service sector. PT Dirgantara Indonesia PTDI, together with Airbus Helicopters, handed over a number of helicopters to Indonesian National Armed Forces TNI, specifically one H215M, two units of H225M, two Panhard combat helicopters, and two S565MB Panther in a basic plan from Airbus' first batch of production. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular program Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, the culinary art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to a culinary tour in East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Alor is one of regencies in East Nusa Tenggara province. Alor Regency consists of 20 islands. From the 20, Alor Island is the most beautiful. The island has many natural places and exotic cultures. The island has very beautiful scenery, enchanting marine biota, and many beautiful diving spots. That's why the Alor Sea is famous throughout the world. Even the Alor Marine Park has been decided as the second best marine park in the world after Caribbean islands. Traveling to Alor, the visitor usually plan to have diving as their main destination. However, in addition to the tourism places, we also introduce you to typical culinaries of Alor, especially Jagung Titi, a culinary made of corn. Corn is one of staple foods of Alor community. Besides, it is made into their staple food. Corn is also processed to be a delicious cookies, namely jagung titi. Jagung titi is somewhat the same with popcorn. The main ingredient is white sticky corn or jagung pulut putih, which has sticky texture and can only grow in the region. The manufacturing process seems simple, but it takes a long time. There are four main stages in making the snack. Firstly, it's a process to separate corn kernels from the cob, or the local called dipipil. After that, the corn is half-baked roasted, initiated by pop sound on the corn kernels. Furthermore, the process of pemipihan or comminution. This stage determines the level of success of making jagung titi. Therefore, the process needs expertise. Pemipihan usually uses two stones, one flat-shaped stone used as a base and one smaller size stone as pounder. Once this process is complete, jagung titi becomes a semi-finished food. Then, by the local community, the half-cooked jagung titi is fried or baked. But before frying or baking, the jagung titi is smeared by margarine first to be more tasteful. Listeners, savory taste that blends with crispy, making jagung titi becomes a favorite snack of people in East Nusa Tenggara, especially on the island of Flores, Solor, Adonara, Alor, and Lembata. Usually, jagung titi is enjoyed on the afternoon with a cup of coffee or tea. The snack is often brought by people as their stock for long trips. Jagung titi can also be eaten with side dishes and vegetables instead of rice. Jagung titi is easy to find in Alor, where the price is quite cheap depend on the quality of corn. The price ranges between 10,000 rupiah to 15,000 per portion. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder on the topic of jagung titi from Alor. We meet again tomorrow with some more interesting topics and places. Sampai jumpa.
Collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreoverly, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free.
answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. Before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about National Film Day 2017. Stay tuned. Listener, March 30, every year is commemorated as the National Film Day. The date is chosen because on March 30, 1950, it was the first day of Darah Endoa or Long March of Siliwangi, directed by Usmar Ismail, film taken. This film is assessed as the first local film that has Indonesian touch. Besides, it was also the first film that was really directed by Indonesian people and produced by the first Indonesian production house, where Usmar Ismail was also recorded as the founder. The Education and Culture Ministry, Creative Economy Agency, and National Film Company also held Indonesian Film Day on March 2017. This year's theme is Celebrating Indonesian Diversity. Through the theme, Indonesian government hopes that Indonesian people can appreciate diversities better than before. There were several activities on 11th until 12th of March in Dome Theater of Muhammadiyah University in Malang, East Java, such as writing a story, parents' dialogue forum, animation making, flipbook animation introduction, animated artwork exhibition, playing an Indonesian film entitled Pasoa and Sang Pemberani. On March 16 to 17, there were also discussion and presentation from regional film community representative. There was also workshop for basic filmmaking on March 6 to 22 in Sidoarjo, and Film Project Expo on March 23 and 24, 2017. One of the interesting parts of this event was to play a film in community and mobile movie theater. On March 21st to 30th, the communities from several regions across Indonesia, such as Aceh, Ambon, Cilacap, Denpasar, Bandar Lampung, Bandung, Kupang, Medan, Malang, Palangkaraya, and Sukabumi, held the mobile movie theater simultaneously. Film and Art Celebration of VLRTC
was the main event from the whole series of the National Film Day 2017, located in National Film Center on March 30th until April 1st, 2017. FILARTC was holding Indonesian film history exhibition, film makeup, film custom, and officially opened the Layar Indonesia program in Indonesian cinema. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miss Leni that informed you about National Film Day 2017. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miss Leni.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Leni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Hernita, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you to an Indonesian singer and songwriter, Rinto Harahap. Rinto Harahap was one of the Indonesian composers in the country, who is also a musician and singer. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song composed by Rinto Harahap, entitled Kau Tercipta Untukku by Petaria Sonata. Happy listening.
Kan ku bawa namamu, ku ingin. biarlah di sini sendiri merajut hari-hari. Bukankah esok atau lusa mati pun aku sendiri.
Listener, you have just listened to the song Kau Tercipta Untukku, composed by Rinto Harahap, sung by Betaria Sonata. Beta was a popular singer of 90s era. In addition to sing, Betaria also ran her career as a big screen player. In the world of cinema, Beta found her life partner, an actor, Willy Dozan. From the marriage with Willy Dozan, Beta has 2 children. Until now, Betaria Sonata still exists in the entertainment world. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Hati Yang Luka, another song composed by Rinto Harahap by Betaria Sonata. Happy listening.
Itu
It seems like a song lyric that you've just been enjoyed as an expression of disappointment over Beta's life. Seeing from the lyrics of the song, send me back home to my mother or my father. Besides busy as singers, Betaria also busy in the world of cinema electronic or TV series. Well, listener, to conclude our music for today, let's listen to the last song composed by Rinto Harahap entitled Cinta Biru by Betaria Sonata. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.